This is a podcast from Minute Media.
All aboard!
We play. That's what we do. We don't talk, we play. You come to Foxborough, it's going to be snowing, it's going to be cold. Come on in here. You want to say all you want? You want to change the rules? Change them. We still play, and we win. That's what we do. Malcolm, go!
Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Three-piece suit, Sunday's best. Whoa, whoa, no fear in my eyes, I'm the man in black. Take a walk in my shoes, ain't no turning back. Whoa,
yes, sirree. It's the Malcolm Go podcast. June the 22nd, 2022. Starting off here, hot. 6/22/22. Haven't podcasted in quite a while. Right now it's just Tyler and I. Kenneth is supposed to come on soon. He is watching the Arkansas Razorbacks play baseball. You couldn't pay me enough money to watch
Arkansas play baseball. Already?
First of all, I got you on Google photo, or what do I get? Google Meet right now, and all I got is bare chest and a Patriots robe right now, and a boxer, right. a boxer just watching you drink out of a cup, just so happy looking at you.
I got a little gin going. I got a half a sausage in front of me. We're having a good night.
That's a perfect North Shore night. A gin and tonic. We going G&T on a Wednesday?
I don't drink tonic. I'm drinking gin and soda.
I don't even know if that is that even a drink. What's a gin and soda?
It's very similar to gin and tonic without the sugar. We're trying to go keto over here, Tony.
Gin and tonic is my go-to wedding drink. I'll have 11, 12, 13 of them at a wedding, especially if that bar's open. Your boy is slinging them.
Gin's a nice time. It's nice, smooth. You can have one, two. You feel nice.
Ladies don't love a gin. I love a gin. I go all night. I literally turn up. I become John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. All night I'm dancing. I go unbuttoned as you are right now. I'm all the way to the belly button by 8 p.m. During the like the snack hour before like the wedding actually starts. I'm fucking already unbuttoned all the way. Oh yeah, cocktail. I'm already unbuttoned to the pants.
Don't call it snack time. Yes. Wedding snack time.
I'm as much trash as you could possibly be. This is snack hour, right? We got snack hour.
We doing snacks? I love snack time.
It is. I went to a good snack time wedding one time where they had a obviously it was a ritzy wedding, and they had like one section was like literally Asians serving you Chinese food and real Italians giving you Italian food. And then like a McDonald's. Great. It was all types of shit. It was one of the better snack times I've ever had at a wedding. But what you been up to? I've been to Italy now, so I'm so much more Italian than I was before. I can't stop Duolingoing now. I'm the Duolingo king.
Hey, once you get stuck on Duolingo, it is a good time.
Yeah, I accidentally paid for the year. Super Duolingo. I was like, you got 15 days free, and then one day I just got a bill for $88. Like, what the fuck? So I guess I'm learning Italian now.
It's the same as Audible, where you're like, well, if I cancel account, I'm an asshole for not. What am I going to just, I'm just going to tell myself I don't want to listen to a book?
Like, I got into Audible for like a month. I was like, what? This sucks. What's the book that everyone says is like,
Akatis are all Da Vinci Code.
No, I watch the movies if I can. No, George Orwell. What's that book? The famous one.
1984.
Yeah, that Animal one. Farm. So I listened to that. And I was like, this is fucking shit. I'd much rather watch The Wire again or Peaky Blinders again. By the way, we can't finish it because, of course, you haven't finished it. So I went all the way through.
I mean, I don't want to get too deep on Orwell, but he has a book called The Road to Wigman's Pear, where he was basically like 20 years old, walked across Ireland poor. And then he had another book about how he fought in the Spanish Revolution.
I don't even know if that's a biography. I have no idea. I don't even know.
Yeah, he was just a soldier.
He was really a soldier.
Yeah, he just decided to join the socialists in a war that they lost.
Yeah, I'm a complete moron. I have no idea. He could have existed in the 1600s. If you told me he existed in the 1600s, I'd be like, yep, that sounds right. I did Audible for like that book. I did like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, trying to get smart about money. And I was like, I can't. I'm done.
Classic.
I'm just going to die here. I'm just going to die with $0.
Yep.
I have to go buy a car and they're telling me the prices. I'm like, there's no way. There's no possible way.
Why did you buy a car?
My lease is up in like July 4th. So I have to either extend that lease or buy it or lease another car. And leasing is like higher than buying a car right now.
A little financial fun fact. But if you buy the lease you have, you can turn around and sell that immediately and make $7,000.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. But they're going to give me, so whatever. They're going to give me like $5,000 for the lease. And maybe I get $6,000 for it. And I have to bust my balls trying to buy it. I've been trying to sell it.
Why don't you just buy the car you have? The lease.
I don't want to get into it, the nitty gritty of it, but the wife doesn't like it anymore. I'm going Asian now.
Gone.
That's I'm gone off fucking American fucking cars. I can't handle it anymore.
None of it mattered until it was, well, Anne actually hates the car.
Yeah, well, that's part of it.
But it's an extra $10,000. Well, but the windows.
Look, listen.
The windows go down slow.
I'm significantly downsizing my car because she hates this car so much. I'm like, you can't battle it. There's only so long you can battle. And like, you know what I mean? Like she drives every day. She's like, I hate this car. I'm like, yes, but we're going to have a smaller car because I can't afford a brand new giant car. So she's like, okay. Well, I was like, fine. I mean, the kids aren't going to wear seatbelts in this car because there's no way they're fitting.
I love how you guys are both playing the game of chicken, where she goes, yeah, whatever. And you're like, wait, she's like, but you're just going to buy a nice car. I know you are.
No, I fucking absolutely. Like, no, I lost. I am buying the highest quality Asian midsize SUV you can get. Instead of buying like a medium range giant SUV, I'm getting
a RAV4.
No, I'm getting the Hyundai Santa Fe, which is a terrible name, and I hate saying it.
Don't sleep on Hyundai. Hyundai's made a big turn lately.
Listen, it's a 10-year, 100,000... I sound like Ernie Bach Jr. It's a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Fucking thing is souped up. It's like a fucking Benz inside. You should see all the fucking things you got. If you try to get a Jeep for the same price as this, I mean, I don't even know if you'd have to put it together probably yourself and pedal it like the Flintstones. There's no way you can get all the bells and whistles in an American car. I don't understand how they bring it from fucking Korea to the United States and it's cheaper and way better than American cars.
I'm going to let you know a little secret.
Ever since that assembly line, by the way, Tyler, we've really been fucking just coasting.
Here's a little secret. Hyundai, Toyota, Nissan, any actually foreign car is actually assembled in America. I thought that was just common knowledge. I didn't think you really thought it was made in a different country still.
Oh, they might be assembled. I mean, they're engineered and like designed.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm sure they're assembled in Mexico. There's like 11 plants in the United States, and every car you get from them is $350,000. A Ford F-150 you can get Detroit made, or you could like 5 years ago before they like increased the taxes on all of them. They all moved to Mexico again.
I don't know what happened. My truck's falling apart. This is going nowhere. Where are we going?
It's going everywhere. First of all, I can't believe you're a black truck guy. I've seen you out and about. I guess I never thought about what you drove, but you never caught me as a black truck guy. Black pickup truck guy is a guy in an Affliction t-shirt. That tries to fight at every bar.
For sure.
And what do you carry in that?
Carrying that?
Yeah, what do you put in the truck bed? Soup?
Things. There's a lot of things that go in the truck bed. Soup. I got a ladder in there.
For what?
You can put some stuff. You can move a nice washer in the back of the truck.
You like to be the guy. But now you've put yourself into the situation where you have to help people move.
the truck's small enough where you can't really move anything good.
No, you can come over and move the futon, and that's about it.
Yeah, it's like I can small bookcases, little things. Where you're like, hey, can you help me move a couch? It's like, well, no, this is truck's too small.
We can probably get it in the Hyundai.
It was also all I could afford at the time. So
I
get my eye on a nice Chevy Silverado. That's
ooh. I'm circling the drains right now. You can't even imagine. I'm literally living the episode of The Office with Scott's Tots, where he's like, I thought I'd be a millionaire by the time I was 30. Maybe by the time I was 40, but when I was 40, I had even less money than I did when I was 30. That's what I feel like. That's what I feel like right now. I don't know why, where it's going. I know they keep saying inflation's a big deal, but I don't know.
I don't really know what inflation is either. Like the only thing I actually ever noticed was gas, but I don't think that's inflation. But yeah,
I've seen gas. I understand that.
Nina's doing well. Nina's making a little scratch, you know. She's got a nice little paycheck coming in, and she just got a back pay bonus from the union because they finally settled their whole negotiation.
Beefs.
I had to pay for dinner that night. she got a bonus check. I haven't even gotten a lunch out of it.
No.
Like all her money gets saved away. I got nothing.
You gotta lock that up.
Everything. She saves every little penny. I'm completely broke. And just falling apart.
You gotta get that dual bank account ASAP.
The Arkansas Razorbacks won, boys. They won.
There we go.
Bases loaded, no outs. They got three out. We're playing tomorrow. Go to the Natty.
KP, we were just in a big talk about family finances. It was really
we haven't talked about
family
anything.
Finances are really easy when your parents just put money in your account, boys.
That
really
is nice.
Easy.
Yeah.
KP is literally 30 years old, and he still watches college baseball. I've never seen an inning of college baseball.
Well,
any
you
team.
Should, you should start. You
I used
should
to
start
watch
tomorrow.
The Massachusetts Mad Dogs. Are they in college? Do they play in college? I know they played Fraser Field and Lynn.
No clue. But anyways, back to your finances. Hogs, boys.
Congratulations to the Hogs. Woo Pig.
Also, who are they playing and what's going on?
They have Ole Miss, and if they win tomorrow, they go to the national championship and play Oklahoma. I can't focus. What is Tyler wearing?
He's all chest out. He looks like Dirk Diggler.
It's unbelievable. Is that what you wore to the Open? That's beautiful.
Oh, the boys. We didn't even talk about the Open. How about Tyler was working the Open in the back assembling sandwiches?
Tyler was whipping up salads.
I was a real they put me real down. I felt like I got in the Titanic and they like let me up in the good spot. Like I was in the press conferences for like a little bit with like chairs in with the rich people, and then instantly I was behind that chain gate. And as the water came in, they just weren't
back down
me
with
up.
The Irishman doing the Irish jig on top of tables.
I'm still holding out for a paycheck, so like I think I might be getting paid.
Think like most of the pictures we got, you were just not working. You were just in the mix watching the tournament.
Yeah,
I was
enjoying
himself. That's part of it. It's like part of it as a worker was to make sure everyone had a good time,
exactly.
Including the people in the grandstands. And what better way to show them a good time with a few beers?
Yeah, were you going through some beverages? Did you pay for drinks, or were you just going behind the bar?
Fuck it. I
don't think they're going
to
be listening.
I don't think anybody's listening to this.
I'm bartending for about like an hour and a half. I'm in this nice suite on 13th Green. You can overlook it. You can see the 14th fairway. You know, it's pretty nice.
The Brady's house.
They're like, hey, we're making like $300-$400 a day. Like it's been great. Like blah, blah, blah. But you couldn't fit three people behind the bar physically.
Yeah.
So it was like, this is weird. Like they were here all week and I just got added. I also had the wrong shirt. Like they set, it was a setup.
The maroon
and so
shirt.
An hour and a half in, the guy who's like kind of running it, which this guy was, he's like, all right, come with me. And I'm like, all right, like what's going on? He's like, I just need you for a second. We go down here. He goes, I'm going to put you here for a little bit. And he gives me a knife and a bunch of heirloom carrots to cut up. And I'm on carrot duty for about an hour. Now, the same guy, he's coming down. He's cracking a bottle of Jameson. He's taking swigs out of the bottle of Jameson.
Wow.
At one point, we have this like this like this young hot blonde girl who's kind of like running the kitchen, and he like he's like, all right, like she's getting me in charge. She had like a weird name that I couldn't like ramen or something. Like she ramen? Was it was something weird. So
are you sure she was a she?
Yeah, she was real. Not judge. She was very she. She was hot. So he's taking shots of whiskey, and there's like music playing. This is 11:30. He's coming down. He'll like dance and like starts like trying to like dance with her, and then he's like touching her awkwardly. At one point, she's like cutting something with both her hands, and she had like these two pieces of hair that came like over her face, kind of over her eyes. And the guy took the hair and wrapped it around his finger. And it was like, I was like,
all class.
What an like, unbelievable move.
He's like 19. I'm like, I looked at him. I'm like, well, that's weird, right? And she goes, looks over, like, had a horrified face, like, I hope he doesn't look at me. And then just went right down, back down to what she was doing. She's like, and so it was, I was cutting carrots a little bit, getting some veggie plate. And I'm like, what's the deal? Like, what am I going back on the bar? He's like, don't worry about that, right? I'm like,
don't worry about the bar. You're good on carrots. You're more a carrot
then
guy.
Then I look over. There's about a pile of dishes that you couldn't even see the sink. I didn't even really know there was a sink behind the dishes at this point. And he starts doing dishes. He's like, all right, we're going to do a rotation. And I'm like, this is not good. I'm going to get stuck on dish duty at the U.S. So I just waited, maneuvered around, and then put a case of beer to the side. And then as soon as he wasn't paying attention, grabbed a case of beer. Snuck out, and
I love it.
My girlfriend's dad and her brother were at the open, so I just met up with them.
Is that a 30 rack of beers and just enjoyed yourself for free?
It was a 4-pack of whale's tail, but either way,
yeah, same thing.
I'd say you earned it. You earned it.
Fuck that.
Yeah,
can we tell the good story? So, my brother Dominic, the youngest of the boys, was he's now become a world class, bartender in Boston. He was begging me, obviously he suckered Tyler and my cousin in to being bartenders at the U.S. Open, and my other brother was going to do it, and I was mildly interested, and I was just like, I'm not doing it. It's Father's Day weekend. I'm going to just get drunk by myself and not do anything. So anyway, a lot of my friends were going, and so Saturday, I believe, they go, or no, maybe Friday, they go in, or Saturday, whatever. I say, Dom, where are you working? A lot of my friends are going to want to come by and see you. Probably get free drinks and shit. He's like, well, it was the 13th green till I got fired last night. I was like, how the fuck do you get fired at the easiest job on the planet? Tyler's not even doing it and he's getting paid. So he handed me a story that I can tell is a lie. Tyler, you back me up on this. You let me know if it's a lie or not. He told me he took a break and an 18-year-old specifically said 18, which I think is smart on his part, but he said an 18-year-old started pouring himself drinks, and then he got caught, and they fired him.
Yeah, so Dom went to, as any good son would, went to the merch tent to pick Gina up a couple items. A nice U.S. Open hat, a commemorative pin.
Oh, you know, enjoy yourself.
He's just doing, God just bless. As a nice son, you know? He's thinking about his mother. So he's like, I'm going to go to the merch tent. You guys watch the bar for a little bit. Not much going on. You know, it's a Thursday. When he comes back, there's four security guards. Half the kids were in handcuffs. Zip-tied handcuffs. And he goes, can I talk to you for a second? So Dom got dragged out. Apparently what happened was, kids were just rifling down booze. Soon as he left, it was like,
was he the only guy in there? He was the only person in the tent?
No, it's like people can kind of come and go in the tent, so they'll like walk around the course. So it's like, it wasn't like, sometimes people were in the tent, other times they're not. So I think there was no one in there. He left, came back, everyone was there, and 18-year-olds were trying to make drinks in there. And
awesome.
The people who bought like the tent for probably like 120 grand were like, yeah, we're not putting up with this guy. Like, we're not putting up with 18-year-old bartending. Like, what the fuck is going on? And Dom was that.
I thought he was See, the way I told it was, in my head, is he was cruising and he was pouring drinks to 18-year-olds. What do they call that when teachers indoctrinate students?
Grooming.
Grooming, yeah.
Grooming.
So I think he was I had it as he was grooming these young 18-year-olds with beverages. Here, let me make you a Shirley Temple. All the new things he makes, like at his new restaurant.
I mean, when we walked out, so we went to the orientation and we went to the chorus. We got our parking passes, our badges, and we're waiting in line. And Dom, like, every single person there was just an 18-year-old, like, college boy in sweatpants. Dom's like, this is the greatest job I've ever had in my life.
This isn't for me. Dom's like, this isn't for me.
I mean, there was also 18-year-old girls they were with.
Are you guys going to play tennis? Oh, man. Should we talk about the Patriots at all, or should we just only talk about nonsense? Tyler,
we should at least mention the red jerseys and how big it is that I have a red Judon jersey bought by Tony.
Oh, you did get the red Judon jersey. You got September Judon. September Judon.
I do.
He'll look sweet.
We're gonna
in the
get
red
him through November this year.
Anybody with dreads is gonna look good. Fucking Duggar is gonna be. He's gonna be making noise in the red jerseys. On
that's a lock.
Laying hammer hits with his dreads flying.
So
I love it.
Ramondre is, he just went to 4.3 speed. That's just, in the red?
You are much faster in the red. That's science. Mac Jones' arm's going to be a bullet to Kendrick Bourne. I loved the release video today. The Back to the Future release video. Too good.
Loved it.
It was pretty cool.
Do you think Mac needs to go Brady Flow? Like,
I don't know if Mac could pull off Brady Flow.
Matt can pull off whatever he wants. He's mine.
Brady's California cool.
Yeah, you know, Brady's a different beast.
He was kind of a middle class kid. Mac Jones, I think, is like a prep school star. You know what I mean? He's a side part till the day he dies.
Well, isn't he from Florida? Isn't he Florida trash?
He's not Florida trash. He's like Country Club Florida.
I think he's like grew up on TPC courses. I think he's that kind of Florida.
He was like a model. Like I think he grew up in Jacksonville, but I don't think he was in like Duval. You know what I mean? Like hanging in the trenches. I'm pretty sure he was just hanging out on the 18th green, the 9th green at 9. But
at the end of the day, it's Jacksonville.
Like, it's not great. You got Fred Durst, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Who else? Is Lynyrd Skynyrd from Jacksonville? I think so. And,
yes.
Lynyrd Skynyrd, I mean, they got to be number two behind Limp Bizkit. But, I mean, that's a pretty good.
And Mac Jones.
You
got Mac Jones.
That's true.
That's one.
Did you see his girlfriend's picture was making the rounds today? It's a big hit. All the Patriots fans, like, she was, like, in a bikini on a boat or something. And all the Patriots fans just soared into her DMs and into her Instagram. We're just saying how awesome Mac Jones was. I loved it.
I just love it. I mean, nobody's looking at her. She's the first queen.
Mac wasn't in the picture, but they were just like, Mac Jones is number one. Mac's a baller. She looked like a certified 10. Giselle is so far in the past.
I'm over Brady. I mean, I'm telling you right now, you're going to defend Gronk in his second retirement.
I don't defend it. I'm over it now.
Oh, my God.
I'm over
week 10, week 10, when Brady calls him week 100%. 10, and he's like, hey, man, we really need you. Like, how about you come back? He's going to come back. They're going to win another Super Bowl. And then Brady will ride off into the sunset.
I have no doubt that he's doing the same. Listen, I said it on Twitter the other day that I was going to stop my conspiracy theories because Gronk retired. But I don't think he's retired for real. Like, even his agent was like, oh, yeah, Tom will call and he'll come play again. But I think what's going to happen is, he's not going to play this year, and then Brady's going to go to Miami next year, and then Gronk's going to come back and play in Miami. It's like all a cycle to get.
You really think he's going to Miami? You genuinely? I don't think he is now because Peyton said no.
Well, he said no last year. Why wouldn't he go next year?
I think Sean Payton's like over. If Sean Payton's going to turn down $115 million,
turn it down. Like the minute they were going to do it, what's his name? Flores sued them. And said that they were hiring white people over him.
Yeah, but I mean,
and he was tanking games.
Do you hire Sean Payton over Brian Flores?
Not while Brian Flores is the coach and Sean Payton is a coach. And also, Flores was a good coach. But
Sean Payton's a great coach.
Yeah, okay. If you have Tom Brady, anybody's a good coach, by the way. Fucking dummy just won the Super Bowl with him, and now this other idiot's going to win a Super Bowl with him. Two guys that can't do shit.
I mean, he made Bruce Arians a Hall of Famer.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but yeah, he's I don't know, does one Super Bowl win get you in the Hall of Fame? Maybe. I don't know.
His record is going to be is ridiculous.
It's bad, isn't it?
I thought it was good.
I mean, he was okay with Indianapolis. He really was had like 1 year in Arizona that was good. He had one bad year with Tampa, and then Brady came, right? So he's probably circling 500 with a Super Bowl win. I mean, if Tom Coughlin's not going to go in the Hall of Fame, there's no way Bruce Arians going in.
Tom Coughlin's immediately going to the Hall of Fame. What are you talking about?
He's been retired well more than 5 years, or whatever it is.
Yeah, he's going to make it a bit. Coach,
still
it takes a
league. Yeah. Well, hey, so did we talk about Devontae Parker? We must have, because we got him before the draft.
Yeah, he's an electric. We haven't recorded. That's a great pick, and I love that he's wearing 11. I think that's great for grit.
Yeah, you need 11 as a grit number. I mean, he's going to be – I mean, Mac Jones and him are loving each other. Mac's in OTAs. He's showing him where to go. He's showing him how to run the routes. I love that Mac has become a vocal leader, by the way.
But, like, I guess we still don't have that, like, that stud maker that's, like, you know, we have no one that you're going to basically, like, pencil into the Pro Bowl preseason, but
Julian Edelman never made the Pro Bowl. Can we discuss that? Julian Edelman never made it.
Ever? Wait, I mean, never? Like,
never.
Not once.
Not once.
That's a ridiculous
put up regular season numbers. He never put up great numbers. He was an 80 catch guy, and he was like 900 yards, and then
went over 100 yards and 1,000 yards like three times.
He's Julian Edelman. He's making the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, he's fine, but
he's fine. He's fine. 1,000 yards, 100 catches. If that's Marvin Harrison, people are literally drooling.
They're gonna
come. The touchdown numbers people go nuts for.
I definitely think we're sleeping on Ty Montgomery. That's like a bigger Cordero. That's what that is right there, boys. That's all.
I don't think he's gonna make the team.
Ty Montgomery is at best a special teams player if he's lucky. I'm gonna sleep on him all day.
The Patriots
for concerned. Like we have like Kendrick Bourne. We have Devontae Parker, the two tight ends, James White. I can't stress his comeback enough.
Yeah, we know. The man, the hipless man. You want him to be great again. I just don't see it.
But listen.
So I think we have he was great last year.
This team is the depth.
But I think we have a decent offense. Like, we're kind of solid everywhere.
Their depth at receiver and tight end is, like, better than it's been since – probably 2016. The depth is crazy. You got Devontae Parker.
I'm almost there.
Aguilar.
I'm almost there with him. Go ahead.
Listen, they got Devontae Parker, Aguilar, 1 and 2. You got Kendrick Bourne in the slot.
God forbid Aguilar gives you anything this year, which I don't think he's going to.
Yep.
But if Aguilar gives you a decent year, like that's that now, and Jacoby Myers, and now we have a good little.
Aguilar football. Only needs to give you 600 yards, maybe 500, a couple touchdowns. Parker's going to be a touchdown guy, the red zone guy. Hunter Henry and they got rid of the fullback because they want to get Jonnu Smith involved. They literally just got rid of it, so now they're going to get Jonnu Smith involved. You add in Tyquan Thornton, who I think is going to take.
I'm also not convinced he's not going to be a Hall of Famer yet. I mean, I've
seen him play, but I don't know who that is.
I love this podcast so much.
The kid that ran the 4.2, you clown.
They got him in he was their second round pick, and they drafted him over like five other receivers everyone loved.
Because he ran a 4.2, and we needed some speed. I'm not convinced he's not a Hall of Famer. I'm not convinced yet.
I don't think I've ever seen straight line speed convert to Patriots offense other than Randy Moss. Like I can't name one.
You know what Randy Moss is? Randy Moss is a Hall of Famer.
He figured it out. Him amongst the 300 other guys that ran 4.4 or below have done nothing. I don't know how fast Deion Branch was, but he wasn't that fast. And who else is there? Bethel Johnson was like the speed guy. Brandon Tate was a speed guy. Dobson, Boyce, all those guys were like 4.3 guys and couldn't figure it out.
You just named great players.
You know, studs.
Concern about like if you listen around sports radio, they can only talk about who's calling the plays. But is there any concern about that for you?
Who's calling the play? Yeah, I guess you've got two guys. Somebody should be doing it. I mean, they have two guys that have never done it before. They have Joe Judge, who was a head coach, but before that was a special teams coach. And then they have Patricia, who was a head coach, but before that was a defensive coordinator. And he's like also doing the offensive line. So what I really think is happening is Bill Belichick is going to be the offensive coordinator.
But here's what, like, the outside, like, I don't think people fully, like, Belichick is completely involved in everything all the time. And they think, like, oh, if Belichick's going to be involved in the offense, like, how's he going to be involved in the defense? Belichick was completely involved in the offense and in the defense all the time, every fucking year he's been here.
But, like,
I agree,
do you think,
but I think
he's calling plays? Do you think Bill's in the mix calling plays? Because I don't.
No, I don't think he was
heavily involved in the script and how the game's going to go, yes.
Yes, but there was a difference. Because when there's somebody he trusts, like Flores or Patricia or McDaniels, he steps away from it. You know what I mean? And then he sprinkles in where he needs to sprinkle. Like in 2006, they didn't have an offensive coordinator. And basically, he was the offensive coordinator with like McDaniels as his assistant. And then same thing when they did that with like the last few years with defensive coordinators. There's still no defensive coordinator. Belichick's doing both of those. But now he's got to do offense and defense. Basically teach fucking Joe Judge and Matt Patricia an offense that they're going to recreate together, because they're not going to run the McDaniels offense because they don't have a fullback anymore. So it's going to be something completely different. Mac Jones is in his second year, and the defense is going to be completely different because they don't have fucking Hightower. So they're trying to get more speed on defense, and they're going to try and play that differently. So they're trying to recreate. What's making me nervous is they're recreating both sides of the ball 20 fucking 2 years into existence of the team. You know what I mean?
But
what if we just full go, like, Nick Saban just gave Bill Belichick the playbook and was like, let's start here with Mac Jones. We'll start here. And then you do what you need. Let's just start there.
I don't know. I think it's going to be a lot of the Patriots offense, like the fucking, you know, the read-based offense.
Runs up the middle on third
and in the running. But I think they're going to give him a lot more RPOs, a lot more, like, tight end shit. Like screens and fucking just getting Jonnu Smith the ball in space. You know, for some reason, McDaniels couldn't figure that out. Like every time he touched the ball, he would get like 11 yards if he caught it. But like they never got it to him down the field. Him and Mac Jones couldn't get on the same page. Hunter Henry and him and like Kendrick Bourne were the only two guys who were really on the same page. And we also forgot Jacoby Myers, who re-signed.
Fantastic.
Honestly, I think Jacoby Myers is going to lose his job to Trey Nixon just because I'm hot on Trey Nixon right now. But
you've been hot on. I also think we haven't mentioned Pierre Strong. I think he's going to get some PT.
I don't know. That was inexplicable to me. People were bullshit about the guard Cole Strange we took in the first pick, which whatever. I'm so like Bill Belichick's hit rate on interior offensive linemen is like 99%. So
gotta be 100.
If he wants to take that guy in the first round, he's going to be fucking Mankin / Hannah. I'm positive.
There was a couple incidences where, like, people were like, oh, like we were hoping to get him here. We were hoping to get him there. Like, we would have loved it if they fell to us. Yeah. It's like, yeah, everyone would love if a great player fell to them in the third round. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But then everyone else was like, oh, yeah, he probably would have went in, like, 10 more picks. So it wasn't that big. Like, people freaked out that they reach on him. It's like, I think he's fine. I think he's going to be fine.
He's going to be fine. They did the exact same thing with Logan Mankins. The exact same thing. Everyone's like, Logan Mankins, probably like a second, maybe a third round pick. They picked him at 32, and he was probably easily the best Patriots offensive lineman they've had in the last 20 years.
I can't have Tony saying he's out on Pierre Strong when we just very clearly picked that in our mock draft.
I'm not out. I'm deeply in on Pierre Strong. What was inexplicable to me was that they drafted two running backs back to back.
That was odd.
Third and fourth round, right? Or was it two fourth rounders? Whatever. They had needs everywhere.
Well, we're basically saying that because running backs take a little bit to develop in the system, Damian Harris is gone next year.
Yep.
If not this year, at this point.
And James White's gone.
The trade. If we're like having a bad year, which we're not, we're going undefeated, but if in the rare instance we don't, I think he's gone week 8.
He's not a midseason draft. You're not trading your best running back midseason, trust me. The thing, if he gets traded, it's going to be like soon because they have no cap space. They reportedly signed Cole Strange, but he doesn't even make that much money. The thing about Damian Harris is he probably doesn't even, if he makes $3 million this year, I'd be surprised. Somebody Google it. But there's definitely, he's not making that much money. He's your best running back, but Ramondre Stevenson, the only difference between Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris is fumbles. I think Ramondre Stevenson fumbled a few times.
But it's the NFL. They're all going to get hurt. You need four running backs.
But now you're talking about five or six. True. You're talking about six. You've got two locks, your two draft picks. Then you got James White, Ramondre Stevenson, and Damian Harris. Who are you going to cut out of there? Plus, you got Ty Montgomery and that other kid that was supposed to take over for James White that died from COVID and nobody ever heard of again, J.J. Taylor.
He's too small.
Yeah.
Seven guys.
He's just not going to make the team. He'll be a practice.
Yeah, he's done. Guy.
He'll get cut.
Is
but
James
then,
White going to be ready? Is James White going to be ready? I mean, his hip wasn't on his body.
He'll probably give him the PUP. He'll come back midseason. But then you got four guys, or five, with Ty Montgomery at running back.
Well, you just said he's cut, so there. I mean,
yeah, Ty's gone.
I think Ty Montgomery, he has to be.
He's like Brandon King.
No, by the way, he's like a hybrid running back receiver. I mean, he's probably like
special teamer at best.
No, but he put up some good numbers with the Packers and some with the Saints.
He's a broke boy, Cordero. He's a broke Cordero. That's what he is. He's like a bigger.
He doesn't have that speed, though. Cordell Patterson's got speed, got wheels.
By the way, Damian Harris makes $965K. He might as well just be me. Like, I mean, what's he? That's nothing.
No. You keep him on the team. Exactly. He makes nothing. And Damian then next year, you have Pierre Strong.
$965K?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to pay him probably $7 million next year to be the starting running back. It ain't going to be Bill. It's going to be sad because he's a good Patriot running back, but. I don't know. I mean, that's why they keep doing that. They always do that. They always draft like two running backs ahead of schedule. But this draft was really annoying just because they had so many needs, like, well, or at least perceived needs. You thought they needed linebackers. You thought you needed cornerbacks. You thought you needed wide receivers. And every time they picked one, like they picked a guard. I was like, okay, we need a guard definitely because they trade Shaq Mason. I thought they'd get him in the fourth round. They get one in the first. I'm like, okay. I sell myself on it with what I just said. 99% of the time they hit on an interior lineman. Then second round, a lot of good receivers left. N'Kobe Dean's just sitting there. And then everyone, you know, Patriots need this linebacker. He's the best linebacker in the draft. Could have been top 10. Don't take him. Take a guy called Tyquan Thornton. Never heard of him. There's like fucking eight other receivers on the board that they could have took. You know,
but we ran a 4.24. I mean, that's fast. That's fast person.
Yeah, they did that. So they took, they went by like the Raiders mode of drafting, where just it's picking speed. It's like Darius Hayward Bay all over again, where they drafted just the fastest guy. They drafted the two fastest players in the league. I think Pierre Strong was the second fastest guy.
He was the fastest running back, and Thornton was the fastest.
And
receiver.
Marcus Jones was the fastest cornerback, right?
So, yeah, I'm kind of in. I'm actually in on the speed thing because we are old.
But
yeah,
linebacker.
Not really anymore.
No, not anymore. Not draft. We're not.
We have five linebackers that you could say are like draft picks, like these Ronnie Perkins and you know the other guy from Michigan. Like we have guys that have been stashed away for like 3 years that we haven't seen. That
you got
to
answer.
Are they good? Are they virtually like draft picks to us because it's going to be brand new to us?
Yeah,
Anthony
I agree.
Jennings,
I mean,
like we have a bunch of like we have depth there. We just don't know what it is because we haven't been able to see it in 3 years.
Yeah, they're basically they're selling out on Cameron McGrone,
Michigan and kid, and then Anthony
Jennings. They're selling out
from the Browns. We got him
and Big
Matt
Ronnie
Wilson.
Oh yeah. I don't know.
Mac
Tony
Wilson.
Was sold on him. Tony was sold on him immediately after getting on YouTube.
I was sold on him over Chase Winovich.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's a bum.
I don't know if I was sold on Mac Wilson as your starting inside linebacker, but I was definitely sold on him as an upgrade over Winovich. But then, I mean, you got no thumper. Your thumper is Bentley. But, like, I mean.
I don't know. I remember watching Anthony in college, and he lit motherfuckers up. So if he's healthy, that's your. That's your thump.
A 5-star at Alabama can thump guys from Vanderbilt like there's no tomorrow. That whole different ballgame in the NFL. He couldn't find his fucking ass, in fucking his rookie year.
What do you mean? Dante's an Alabama guy, laid the wood.
Yeah, but some guys translate, some don't.
Well, that's what we're saying. Like, you get 2 more years of just studying defense. Like, everything gets slower, then you get better.
It's you got to unleash Uche. You have to unleash fucking Perkins. I mean, you just got to be hellfire, basically, with speed. You got those guys are lightning fast. Perkins, Uche, Jennings isn't fast, but Uche, you know.
Perkins could be a problem.
Raekwon McMillan.
I'm going to say Perkins has an arrest under his belt. Like,
need that.
He knows what's going on. He's about that action.
You know what I'm really.
They said the same thing about me coming out of Bridgewater.
And look at you. Look at you now. Yeah. Having a gin and soda, enjoying life.
Right. We have a good road going. You know, Mac has a DUI. We're in good shape. I'm actually feeling
if your quarterback doesn't have a DUI, I don't even know you. Listen, you know what? I don't know if we've talked about it yet, but maybe one of my most favorite signings the Patriots have made in a few years is Jabril Peppers at safety. That motherfucker is going to be elite.
Oh, yeah. That's another guy that, like,
he's going to be hybrid.
All these linebackers that aren't linebackers.
You have linebacker safeties left and right.
You've got him. You've got him and him and Duggar. Honestly, that's your thumpers.
Those and Phillips. Thumpers. Don't forget Phillips was a stud.
But he's also small.
He signed him at the end of the year. That's always a good sign. If you get signed in December, that means the Patriots love you.
They love you, and that means the player loves playing there because you know he's good enough to go out and get more money.
Yeah. And they're like, hey, we're going to give you something decent now.
I'm in on the defense.
I'm in on the defense. I'm nervous at corner, obviously. But I think the safety speed and, like, size is going to allow them to play, like, you know, 3 downs, a lot of safeties. They're going to have 8 safeties on the field at once. Sometime during the season, you're going to have Duggar, Phillips, Peppers, and McCourty on the field at the same time, and everyone's going to be like, what the fuck's happening?
That is Bill's dream.
That's going to be a lot. I don't think that's going to be, like, a rare thing. I think it's just they're just going to float the line, and then everybody's going to be like, guard someone. Just pick someone safeties. And guard.
I'm nervous at corner because you got Jalen. And he's like your top corner, and you got Malcolm Butler who hasn't played in a year, and then you've got other people you've never heard
of. Jonathan Jones is coming back.
Jonathan Jones at the slot, but then he's not going to play outside. Then you got Sean Wade, a practice squad guy, or not? You know,
who's the guy we got from Oakland?
Oakland
he developed last year. I think we traded for him.
I think you're making
Sean Wade. You're thinking of right?
Yeah, the dude who got a
he's from Baltimore
first play. He literally concussed himself in practice, I think, his first practice.
That's all right. And then they drafted 2 guys, Jack Jones from Arizona State, who looks like he's like a J.C. Jackson also, type.
Also has an arrest under his
bad
belt.
Bad boy, yep. Thrown out of USC. We love that. Number one, I love that. I love a cornerback with swagger. And if you're thrown out of USC, you know you got it. And then
I definitely think it was a gun charge, too, so I'm even
no,
more.
No, he went into a bank or a convenience store, broke in. I don't think they had a gun.
Huge arrest. That's bit. Honestly, Ring of Honor. We got 2 Hall of Famers.
Already give him a red jacket. You give a guy a red jacket for breaking into a convenience store at night.
It can happen from time to time. Yeah. You know, sure. Who's keeping up with their fucking, you know, what's registered where? I don't know. Like, come on.
And if Pete Carroll was still the coach there, you never would have heard of it. Okay.
No way. No way.
He would have been a top 10 pick.
Reggie Bush probably told him to do that.
Yeah. And then you got Marcus Jones, who's like a 3-way player. He's 5'8", which is a problem, but he's basically a 5'8" Deion Sanders. He is like the greatest kick returner in college history, a great defensive back, and he played offense at Houston. This kid, if fucking whoever's calling the plays, if it's me calling the plays, that kid doesn't leave the field. Plays 60 minutes.
He's playing always.
I watched his highlights for hours one night. I was like, this fucking kid, he's going to be doing flea flickers. I was all in on Marcus Jones, never leaving the field. I think he was our greatest weapon.
I've been so locked in on the Patriots that, like, on the Celtics that I haven't really paid attention much to, like, what's been going on with the Patriots. But it just helps me sleep at night knowing that Tony's got 6-round draft picks. He's seen every YouTube clip that's ever been put out about them.
I watch highlight film of our undrafted players. I'm like, this kid is going to be it.
We had an electric four-day stretch where we had De'Aaron King on our team, and I was convinced we might run a 2QB set. We might be running the wishbone.
He couldn't even get through. I don't even think he made it to OTAs. They're like, you just stink.
He got cut 2 days before OTAs. He must have, like, I don't know what he did. Hit on Linda.
Yeah. Tyler was going to every single Celtics game, living large. And then I think I was watching the NBA Finals, which is when I start watching the Celtics, is during the NBA Finals. And I think I started watching one game, and I was like, then I just had a thought in my head about Christian Barmore or something, and I just tweeted out. And Tony was like, we're in like game seven of the finals, and Tony's just tweeting about Christian Barmore.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been.
By the way, who also might win MVP in the whole NFL this year, because he's just the best.
I really want.
I forget about how good he is. He's going to be like Haloti Ngata for like fucking.
Three years ago, like after Brady left, I swore off jerseys. I already bought a Duggar one, and I'm like inching closer to a Barmore. I might be a two jersey guy, like depending on what I feel like doing. I might get the throwback fucking Barmore.
Going to a game this year. It's definitely a jersey game this year. I'm wearing my Judon jersey, and maybe just my Judon jersey.
You have to go in Las Vegas. The boys, when the boys show up in 204, we're in full uni. If I could put on a helmet, I'd have a helmet on.
I'm in Boston in September, so we're at least doing a live pod. At least a live pod.
We are podding from the stadium, as well as I'm going to bring the gear to Vegas. The boys are going to be podding from Vegas. Ty, are you in on Vegas? We haven't heard.
Am I in Vegas?
What do you mean you're not in on Vegas?
Where are these funds coming from?
Breaking moves.
What do you mean? Work the U.S. Open.
Exactly. Use that U.S. Open money.
I'm going to have to find a lawyer to get me out of the situation.
There's no way you're getting paid.
On Sunday.
Did you even give him a W-2 form? There's no way you're getting paid. Whatever you get,
I gave a guy a voided check, but I'm not even sure he worked.
Voided check. He filled it out. He paid himself. You paid him.
Yeah, I definitely lost.
You think he's gonna direct deposit it? Yeah. You're out of your mind.
It was the whole situation.
He gave him his information. Yeah.
Just chaos enough where like I might be able to get away with it, but we'll see.
Did you give him your social and like your credit card number? I don't understand.
Well, he said he had an uncle that needed a surgery, so I figured.
The Nigerian prince. I'm so happy I didn't do that. I had a nice Father's Day red wine drunk going at my dad's house. Ah, what a day. I got banged up Friday night. The boys were like, you got to come. Like, so my friend moved to Beverly, I don't know, years ago. And he's like, I know you guys never leave Saugus, but maybe you should come up. We'll have scotch and cigars. And Friday was nice, so I did beers a little early by the pool, and then we drove up there at like 8 at night.
Who's pool?
My buddies. I went to my buddy's pool. Okay. And then, so I bring my beer. We all bring a bottle of scotch. Six of us. So we're like, fuck it, let's go. And so we all went up. I bring a fucking bottle of scotch that has appreciated to $300. Back when I used to collect it, you know, I got it for like $60. Now it's $320. So I was like, let's drink it. I get to pounding it. And then all of a sudden, it's about 9:30. I'm like, fuck, I'm really drunk. And then it hit me really fast. My friend made a charcuterie board of like prosciutto and tomatoes. I'm like, I'm just going to eat all this and hope for the best. And then ate all that, continued drinking. Had no fucking, I was like, scotch and whiskey, I'm pretty profound at drinking it. I can handle it pretty good. And, you know, I had full intents of driving home that night, and I was like, you know how fucking drunk I have to be like, I'm not driving. there's like a 1 in 1 million chance that I'm like, I can't drive. And that was the night I did it. So my friend calls an Uber, and I'm hammered in the back seat. I had to make the Uber man pull over so I could throw up on the highway.
I'm so out on you.
Dude, I was fucking seconds from puking in a Subaru. He didn't fucking let me. I was on 95 puking my guts out as fucking Mack trucks are whizzing by my skull. I'm lucky I'm not decapitated.
This is good preseason. This is good preseason workout.
It was a mess. I got out at my friend's house on Queer Street. No idea where I was. He's like, Tony, they're going to your house. Like, go back in the car. Threw me in. He lives maybe two blocks from my house. I fell asleep in the car. The guy had to wake me up. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, what a mess I am. Get inside. It's like 12. It was midnight. I was in fucking full college blackout. I just went upstairs, fell asleep in my clothes, woke up. Because Saturday, I wake up early with the kids. I slept for like 4 hours. Oh, my God. That worst hangover I had in years. I was going to put together a gazebo. The boxes just sat there taunting me. I had nothing. I had nothing.
This is great. This is a good time.
Yeah.
So, wait, it was just you guys? It was just like you and five buddies?
That's it. The squad. We were on the deck having cigars, drinking scotch, having prosciutto.
The reaction
and honestly, I think it was the prosciutto that made me throw up.
What was the reaction when you went into bed, like throwback to Syracuse days?
Oh, luckily I had already thrown up, so I didn't start spinning. I was fucking so the spins were out the window because I was already puking. All I remember was shutting my eyes in the back of the Uber and being like, "You gotta pull over." Either I said that or somebody somehow knew it because I fucking don't know where I was on Earth, but I was like, if you pull over right now, I'm going to crawl out of this car and get ran over, or just I'm going to throw up out the door.
I do enjoy this.
It's a zero-star review, 100%.
That's huge, though. That's really – but you can't start pulling scotch out for a tailgate. Here, when I'm up there in September, we're drinking NASCAR beers, boys.
The hardest liquor I ever go at a Patriots game is the pregame McGillicuddy's or Fireball. That's about it.
You guys, the Fireball, I mean, it's just got to end.
Go, why? It's what the boys do. That's how the boys get fired.
That's old school. That's old school. They've been doing that since they were 18.
They love the Fireball.
I like Fireball and great McGillicuddy's.
I think that's a big, big Frank thing. That's an Uncle Frank thing.
Oh, he doesn't like that Fireball. Shit. No way, man. No, I love the Fire. Frank. That's the number one tailgate drink. You drink that and then a beer. Drink that, then a beer. Drink that's that, then a beer. You just get the boys going.
You've never been to a real college tailgate. That's just tough. That's a tough move out of y'all.
Tough scene.
Yeah, you mix in a nice red wine and you call it a day.
Tyler comes with his stemware. He's coming in. He's got a nice glass of Chardonnay. He's going to enjoy himself.
Yeah, glass it up.
Listen, boys, I only drink wine when I'm on Italy time, okay? Andiamo.
Yeah, you were there not long ago. 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
Oh, I don't know. It's longer than that now. Probably about 7 weeks, 8 weeks. But
allegedly,
can't get it out of my head, man. Can't get it out of my head.
That's huge.
If you guys have watched my Instagram, I had the top Instagram of the year up on the quarry of Italy. I don't know if I brought that story up, but I went to obviously not because we haven't podcasted since then, but I went to a place called Forte di Marmi, which is the Fort of Marble, right? And this whole place, it's like, I don't know, they consider it like the Beverly Hills of Italy, right? And it's, we were at the bottom of this mountain range, and at the top of it, it looks like snow. It's not that high up, but probably, I don't know, 2,000 feet, something like that, 3,000 feet. At the bottom, you look up, at the top, you're like, I can't believe there's snow up there. It's not that high. And it's fucking literally all marble cut out of the side of this giant mountain.
Oh, jeez.
Or was it snow?
No, it's snow. It's fucking marble.
Oh, it is marble. Snow, too? You confused me. I'm not smart.
Wait, is it snow or is it marble?
No, it's marble. It looks like snow from the ground, but when you get all the way up, it's fucking blocks of marble in the mountain that they're cutting out of it. It's bright white. And I went all the way up to the quarry. You have to go up this serpentine route up the side of this mountain, holding on for dear life. I was in, another car sick story. So they take you up in this van, and they're like these fucking Italian vans, which are like bench seats that face each other. And I'm the youngest one there. Nobody wants to face backwards. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll do it. And I tell you, fucking going up this mountain, there's a guy will people tailgate you going 80. And you're like going, I mean, there's a truck coming down the other way with a 50,000-pound block of stone in the back. This is a one-lane road. And it's the death wish. I mean, these fucking cars must roll off this fucking hill every day. We get to the top and spend the day at the quarry. Ah, it's out of this world experience. We watch them cut the fucking stones out of there, all your Gavone countertops, how they cut them out and make them. It was pretty good. And they had a lady up there because, like, people just live up on the quarry because it's so fucking dangerous to get there. She made us pasta, homemade sauce. Oh, it's the best. Best you ever had.
You had a good
Minkia. These peppers. Gravy. Oh, yeah.
Good gravy.
A good gravy up there. I mean, the whole place was just terrific. But then, you know, did a lot of stone, looking at stone, but pretty interesting stuff. I enjoyed my time there. I ate a lot of seafood, things I would never eat because I hate seafood, but it was I dominated it while I was there. I had some stuff called scampo. Have you ever heard of scampo? It's basically Mediterranean lobster. I ate
I live in the South. I have not heard of scampo.
Yeah, I literally had a metric ton of it. It just kept coming. And I was like, I didn't order one thing while I was there. It just food was ordered for me. And I just kept eating whatever it was. I had to keep asking. And this scampo just kept coming up. It's basically Mediterranean lobster, kind of like, it's much smaller than a lobster, but it looks like fucking shrimp lobster mix combined. I had so much of that. Delicious. But I would never order it at home. I'm a burger guy. Just give me a burger and a beer, and I'm good.
Hey, you get me a nice piece of stone for my countertop. Let's get down to brass tacks.
I could have grabbed you some. I could have grabbed you some while I was over Italia way.
You get a piece for me? I need a nice new piece. I gotta put a new counter in.
No, but you want to talk about a nice daddy moment, by the way? You just brought up a nice daddy moment. So my daughter loves, she thinks, you know, because I do stone and masonry. Sometimes she'll just bring home a rock from school and say to bring it to my office for work. So, you know, she's a little cute and sweet.
I literally ripped
a piece of marble out of this Italian quarry at the top of the mountain. It's probably the size of my fist, and I brought it home for her as a treat.
Unbelievable.
What a dad move.
What a move. Good for you're good. You're good. Santa came early.
Yeah, she was fucking amped on it. Now it just sits on her counter, but she loved it when I got home.
I do love Ari. Even though your other daughter, we're not really on a first name basis because I seem to forget her frequently.
That's right.
But she's Sabrina. She's
unforgettable because she is literally psychotic. A psychotic human. She ruins everything. My son was like this, but she's 10 times worse. She climbs on everything, destroys shit on purpose, and thinks it's hilarious. Tries to kill herself 3-4 times a day. You have to keep constant eye on her or she's going to die. It's out of control. So we have this little, it's like a Super Mario, like, toys. And for some reason, like, Yoshi comes with, like, Yoshi eggs. And these eggs are hard plastic. You couldn't crush it with anything, right? It's like you could hit it with a hammer. It might smash into pieces. It would never like dent or like you couldn't bite it, right? And I just look over to her the other night and she put it in her mouth. And I'm like, fuck. And I like if I made any sudden move, she was going to like if she ever gets caught being fresh, she laughs and runs away. So I'm like, don't make a sudden move. And like at the last she's like a lion. At like the last second she saw me. And laughed and started running away, and I fucking threw everything, dove, gave her death clamp, fucking death clamp, back of the neck death clamp, and I fucking had her down, on face down on the beanie chair I have down here, and I couldn't see. I'm like, where the fuck is it? Where is it? And I'm digging in her throat, like I'm like with my other hand digging in her, like I'm fucking pulling hay out of a potato sack. I'm like, where the fuck is it? And it just fucking dribbles off of the thing onto the floor and just tick, 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 tick onto the floor. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. And she does that 4 times a day.
Unbelievable.
These are the moments I have to deal with in my life. And I'm with her only like 2 hours a day. So my wife must do it even more.
She probably just listens to Annie. It's probably just completely different child.
There's nothing to say. But she just wanted to run out. She's like, I'm going to choke on this. And just ran away. Psychotic move.
Commercial.
Can we talk about that photo you just sent? I know we don't have a lot of time left on the pod, and we've talked about literally nothing. But can we talk about your father having that photo? So Kenneth had sent us a photo previously, and I think he has it in his bathroom for whatever reason. But it's a 8x10 of his dad in Sears and definitely the mid-80s, maybe early 80s, with shorts that are a 4-inch inseam. And a party, like literally a Tony Montana, like cocaine shirt. And he's just chilling and he's laying on his side, like posing, like literally he's doing a Playgirl interview. And I need to know why this picture was taken and why it exists. Because
my mother made him take that. Teresa, it's like a pre-wedding thing. It's like a wedding pic. It's like,
is it really? I think your mom's out of her mind.
You know how the wife will like take pictures before the, like after, like, lingerie pictures and shit. I think that's what this was of my dad. I'm fairly certain that's
like if when they went away to war, they had those photos.
Yeah, they have them like made. I think that's what we had going on there.
That's a boudoir photo, as they say in the business.
I'm fairly certain that's what that was. I'll have to get the story. From
I mean,
Teresa.
It does have a certain sex appeal to it. If you would blur your dad's face on that, I'd love it if you would tweet that out to the world under the Malcolm Go podcast.
It's kind of funny because Tony was like joking around, like, "Oh, that's Kevin Costner," and I was like, and then later on he was like, "How about that picture of KP's dad?" I was like, "Wait, but like the picture of Kevin Costner, like
it's just like
that?
Kevin
I mean,
Costner,
KP's dad." Like, what are
there's
we doing
been
here?
Many
like,
times, Tony, when we went to Jamaica when we were young, my dad's next to Eddie George. And the flight attendant kept calling my dad Kevin Costner. Yeah. Kept calling him. He thought Eddie George and Kevin Costner were just going to Jamaica together.
I got to say that your dad in the 80s and early 90s, before he met my aunt, must have absolutely slayed. Because he looked like Kevin Costner.
Yeah, he did. I mean, you should hear the fucking stories that I know. They're unbelievable.
Slayed.
Unbelievable things are going on.
I know how a Malden girl snatched him up. I'm going to be honest with you.
And you met his mother? Aren't we all afraid of his mother?
Yeah, but back then, like, did you see, like, she was just a young Malden trash, and then he was just a hillbilly from Arkansas, you know?
It's a match made in heaven, baby.
No, like, she was just a Chocolo girl at that point.
That's right. We love that. We love that. That's a match made in heaven.
Boy, is it ever. My dad. Country ass and her. The tattoo's the best part.
I couldn't see it in the glare, but I do love it. I've seen it in person. It is great.
It's just a huge razorback on his calf, Ty.
That's a big he loves the razor, but it's like a 1980s razorback. Like it's all faded. It's the best. The lines are all fucked up.
He said, "I want to get it redone, but that shit hurt." So he's not doing it.
Hurts on your calf?
It's been years back when he got. I'm fairly certain
they did that with a pin and a hammer, like fucking Moana. They did that old school in the 80s. My grandfather has tattoos. Your grandfather too, KP.
Yeah, Papa.
All over his arms, like literally, they used to do with like ballpoint pens, and then just hammer it into them.
100% did them in Korea or whatever, like in the firehouse.
Yeah, can't make a fucking thing out. It's just black blobs all over his arms.
I'm fairly certain dad got his in the Middle East. Like, I'm not 100%. I want to say he told me he got that in the Middle East.
100% got AIDS that day. 110%. You think they were changing needles out?
I don't even think that. No, they weren't changing any needles out. I think
they might not even had HIV when he was Middle East.
They're still using that needle. What are you talking about?
They might not have had HIV by then. So you're probably in the clear. Anyway, is there anything else to talk about other than Peaky Blinders? You guys watch it, please, so we can have a discussion.
I'm a Yellowstone guy.
Kevin Costner. This is all coming back somehow.
Yellowstone. Yellowstone's whatever. Imagine that there's someone still listening to this. Like,
I don't even want to be listening
right
to it.
Now. I used to listen
to all of them, and I don't think I can do this one. I think this was good.
Listen. Yeah. All right, fuck it. Hey, Tyler, how do I get into the Stackpole Basketball League? Because I don't like that you play in a basketball league within a baseball's toss from my house, and I can't get in there and start fucking posting up.
I don't think you realize what type of problem I am on the basketball court.
You've never seen me in the paint, kid. I'll be fucking in the paint. I throw elbows, too. I'd be thrown out of every game. There are no referees.
You do feel like you might set a good screen. I get that vibe off you. You're a good screener.
I'm all chest. I lean into him. Like fucking.
I need to tell a story about something that happened to me in a men's league baseball game. Like a real baseball game. Like we're in uniforms and I come up to hit and they bring in this dude that's pitched in the World Series. His name's Asher Tolliver. And I was like, all right, I'm about to take this guy deep. First pitch, 93. I was like, all right, this is men's league. Like, what are we doing here?
On the black.
Yeah. Just immediately struck me out. Three pitches. But, like, we're doing men's league. Like, everyone else is lobbing it. And this guy comes in here fucking juicing 92, 93. Like, we get it. Anyways, I interrupted.
You remember that dude that played for the Oakland A's? He was, like, a big hitter. And he was kind of a drunk.
Mark McGwire. Like, Jose Canseco.
No. This is probably, like 2006. And then he ended up leaving the A's. And he played softball. He played men's league softball. And there was just videos coming out every week of him hitting bombs. Yeah,
okay, well, speaking of the USA Men's League Softball, the coach was in the military with my dad. His name's Pup Dog. There you go. There's my reach.
And that's also a DJ from Jammin' 94.5, if that still exists.
Yeah, I just had to tell you. I mean, I have reach. I know people at a wedding in New Hampshire here soon. I'm well versed.
I was married in New Hampshire. That's interesting.
I was there.
Interesting
enough.
Yeah. All
right, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, fucking wrap it up, Ty. This has been boring enough. All right. Anyway,
listen to this point. You deserve red.
I will tweet at me because I will personally donate you $5.
I'm in.
Because there's no possible way, if you made it this far, I will give you $5. 110%.
My Redbox fight on Twitter?
No.
What do you mean you're fighting with Redbox? Are those the things you like bought DVDs from?
I made a comment about them. All I said was, because of this happening yesterday, I said I just witnessed someone using Redbox. Their life can't be going well. Redbox Twitter started coming at me. Maybe they just wanted to watch a video. I said, maybe it's time for you to shut up, Redbox. No one asks you. And they're like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, super, like, passive-aggressive. And then I sent a picture of a Blockbuster that went on a video. And I said, you're next.
Yeah.
Really, it's just... I wasn't ready for this fight, but I got into it, so...
Okay, yeah, that reminds me of the fight I got into with the University of Phoenix. I forget. This was literally like 20 years ago. This is maybe my first day on Twitter. My first day on Twitter fight.
I never heard this story.
No, I made a joke about like, I don't know, what's their shitty mascot or something stupid. Like, how could they have a football field and even have a mascot or a team or a campus? And they came at me with like all these facts. I'm like, relax. You know, my favorite. I wish I could tell you the story because I don't really remember it, but I just remember it was the University of Phoenix that literally the fucking blue check mark fired back at me with ferocity. So the best one was when I tweeted about, and it didn't mention anybody, but it was about, you know that song, Love That Dirty Water, whatever, by the Standells or whatever. I wrote a whole thing about how Boston teams like all love it and it's like become like a Boston anthem. And I looked up the Standells and they were from like Oakland and never had any connection to Boston, whatever. And I was like, this is kind of bullshit. So I just tweeted it. It got like maybe one or two likes. And I'm not even joking. Like 5 or 6 months later, somebody slid into my DMs responding to that tweet. And was like, well, fuck you. Actually, we have tons of fans in Boston. We spend a lot of time in Boston. We're known for Boston. We love the city. And I'm like, what the fuck? I click on it. It's like fucking 6 in the morning. It's the fucking lead singer of the Standells. Yeah. came at me like 6 months after I tweeted that.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. Although, Tony, you are a problem on Twitter. A problem.
Well, if you want to talk, why? Because I tweet so much, but I don't know.
I think this year our goal should be we should put Lizard, we should put him in a fucking body bag.
Edwin Lizard? He's all right.
Whole goal is I want to be blocked on the Malcolm Go Twitter. That's my goal.
Everyone's blocked.
What are your thoughts about putting this podcast behind that Patreon paywall, tricking people to think?
It's good.
This is what's behind the paywall.
I can't get people to be $1 a month patrons. Do you think they're going to pay for a podcast?
Exactly. This podcast is so bad. It's like a good bit. It just belongs. Put it behind a paywall.
What is that weird movie? What is that movie with like it has all like the like Seth Rogen and all the fucking people in it?
This is
the
end.
The world. Yeah,
that movie's perfect. Yeah.
That's what this podcast.
This sounds exactly like my conversation during the Scotch night the other night.
Except for those were far more educational than what the fuck's going on here.
Probably. All right, lads, it's bedtime. If you're listening still, you earned yourself $5, and you do still have to subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/MalcolmGoPodcast. You know, I got 3 tiers there. We're talking $1 a month. We're talking $5 a month. We're talking $12 a month. We can get you some free merch, some koozies, some stickers. I mean, I got good friends out there, great friends that I've gone to war with, bled with, that still haven't subscribed to my Patreon. And that says something about their character, I'll be honest. And you can follow us on Twitter, of course, at MalcolmGoPod, at Brady Disciple. You can call us, email us at MalcolmGoPodcast@gmail.com. Of course, we've got the Discord that's always open for the fans and the friends for chatter, enjoyable chatter throughout the offseason, especially during the season gets wild. It's discord.com/MalcolmGoPodcast, I think. I'm sure
hey,
you can find
Venmo
it.
My Venmo is TylerTrainer-2. Feel free to just, you know, if you want to cut Tony and JP out, you can get me right in.
Right to the source. You don't have to give him any money.
The kid needs some car repairs.
Let's not forget that Tony has to buy a Hyundai tomorrow. So that Patreon is open. It is open.
Don't buy the Hyundai. Buy your fucking car and then sell it. You'll make $7,000.
I'm not going to make $7,000. Your math is way off on this one.
I'm doing it with Nina's Honda. It's an automatic.
You're out of your element, Donnie. You're out of your element.
I'm about to say, I just saw your car. Like last time I saw it, there was a tow truck behind it. I just don't know that you're the one.
Yeah,
that's my car. I'm in a different spot.
The lights on. All right. Anyway,
we're having a fun time with that picture. Damn it!
Until then, go Pats and KP. Send out that photo so all the Malcolm Goers can enjoy.
Here, I'll send it
at least on the Discord. At least on the Discord for the boys.
Attach it to the tweet on the Twitter. Attach the picture.
I'm not attaching any. Okay, I don't want to. I feel bad.
This podcast better be behind a paywall.
It's going behind a paywall. This is a paywall. All right, boys.
This can't be paywall material.
We love it. I'll see you. Go Pats.
Bye, fellas.
This is a Pats podcast.
No, it's really not. It couldn't be less of a Patriots podcast. I don't understand. I'm still talking and blabbing about, went for an hour and 10 minutes about nothing. Like, how does Earth just continues to spin? And we're just here talking about nothing, wasting our lives. We spoke for an hour and 10 minutes about nothing. Not one interesting fact came out of 3 mouths. I am so blown away by that. Well, I don't know. I don't know how these good podcasters do things, but I know that we did an hour and 11 minutes, and you guys are going to have to pay for this podcast, boys. So join the Patreon. Join the Discord. Follow us on Twitter. We love it. Go Pats.
Do your job! All right, don't try to make too much out of it! Just do your job! 7-8 months ago, right? All for this moment. It's about honor! It's about respect! We win this game, your honor! Your kids are honored! Your family's honored!
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted! Intercepted by Malcolm Butler! Butler has it at the one! Malcolm Butler!
And Warner goes back to throw, and here's the blitz by Mike Vrabel. The back is snap ball down, kick up, kick is on the way, and it is good!
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team
in the league! Hey! Did it!
I love you, man.
Did it, bro. I love you. I love you.
You're the greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.